Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Last week on Family Sunday, I announced I was giving you protection from your children. And we skipped a little ahead in the study in 1 Peter because this week is talking about husbands and wives and how they need to act towards each other. I didn't think the kids need to hear that because kids listen, they never forget, and they always bring it up in the most public opportunities that they can. All submission is rooted in authority. If you do not acknowledge authority, you will not see a need to submit. That can be seen with workers, it can be seen with kids, it can be seen with dogs, it can be seen with people in our country who are resistors to the federal government, and they see no reason to follow this federal government, yet they still experience the benefits of our government as well. There are millions of people who refuse to submit to and acknowledge God, but yet they still receive the benefits of God by His holding all things in balance in the universe. Submission is a very deep word full of meaning and application. It can be functional, a distinguishing of our roles and the work that we are called to do. It can be relational, a distinguishing of a loving acknowledgement of another person's value. Reciprocal, a mutual, humble cooperation with another, and that's best example exemplified in husbands and wives. And also universal, the acknowledgement of the church for an all encompassing lordship of Jesus Christ, that whether you speak English or Japanese or Spanish or whatever it might be, we still come and submit to the same Lord in our relationship with Him. Submission is voluntarily cooperating with anyone out of love and respect for God first, and then secondly, out of love and respect for that person. Submitting to non-believers is difficult, but it's a vital part of our leading them to Jesus Christ. And today Peter explains to us the encouragement to godly living. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this time to gather together and to study your word. And Lord, just for the blessing that we have in this new year to look forward to all that you have for us. And as you involve us in your plan, Father, may we be prepared mentally, spiritually, emotionally in this time as we gather together. And may the words and the heart that's there just impact us in such a way that we'll use them in our daily lives. And we thank you for the time in advance. In Christ's name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. You can turn to page 181 in the New Testament portion or the second half of the Word. Chapter 3, verse 1, Peter says this: "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Great temptation to let Pastor Roland give this message today, because I know that some of the words in there just flicker a little bit of fire. The word submission is a word that can a little hard. The fact that women are weaker, I know some women that can just take me down in a moment, and I avoid them at all times. But in these several verses, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross, both wives and husbands are to make their marriages reflect Jesus Christ. even when difficulties arise. Paul gave a clear and clean picture of this in Ephesians chapter 5. But here, Peter begins by giving godly instructions to wives. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. In the same way, refers to just what took place in prior verses, which was what? Submission to authority. Submission to the king, to not only our president, but to our state government, to our local government, to whatever takes place in your lives. Submission to masters or to the employers that you work for. Submission is an important quality. It's important as parents with kids, and we have to constantly reinforce that, because if they don't learn submission and respect authority in the home, they're not going to respect it out in the workplace. If they believe that everything should be handed to them, they're going to have a difficult time. And a lot of times the problem is, when we were kids, I'm not going to do that when I become a parent. I'm going to let my kid just do whatever he wants. Not true. We start that way, and then we have to go back to the same things our folks did as well. We have to understand that just in the same way that we respect the civil authorities, we have to understand the social order that God has given to us. Peter says, be submissive. Peter insisted that if Christians are to be a witness for their Lord, they must submit not only to the civil, but to the social order God has designed. Wives are commanded to place themselves willingly under the guidance and control of their husbands, living in such a way that their husbands will be challenged to live in obedience to God's truth. I saw my mom do that for 28 years, to submit herself to a man who rejected Christ, to a man who refused to bow his knee, to who would mock or who would make comments on. But I saw her be faithful, and because of that faithfulness, I believe that's who I am today. Still with my difficulties and challenges in ADD, but still desiring to follow God. Her life was an example to me. I never saw her speak an evil word or retaliate or give an insult for insult, but she gave a blessing instead. Women, listen clearly, are not inferior to men in any way. Amen. I heard a few amens there. We're getting Baptist now. In any way. Any more than submissive Christians are inferior to pagan rulers or pagan non-Christian bosses. But wives have been given a role which puts them in submission to the headship which resides in their own husbands. And I will tell you right now, husbands are responsible. Husbands will have to answer to God for their relationship. A husband not say, well, my wife, I was just... That's what Adam tried to, remember? Remember in Genesis? God, if you read back in Genesis in the beginning, when God confronted them in the garden, what did Adam say? The woman you gave me, he even tried to blame God for the woman. But who did God address? He addressed Adam. Why? Because Adam was given the command not to eat. It was his responsibility. You can't default over to the women. So women, take great pleasure in that your husband, you just wait till God talks to you. Even if any of them are disobedient to the word, Peter is referring to unbelieving husbands. Faith in Christ does not give us the right to make dramatic changes in our lives that undermine God working in our lives. A godly wife does not preach to her husband with words, but with the Christ-like beauty of her daily life so that he might be won over by her behavior. The goal of her action is to see the unbelieving husband become a Christian. The loving and gracious submission of a Christian woman to her unsaved husband is the strongest evangelistic tool that she possesses. Added to submission is modesty, meekness, and respect for the husband, so that Peter says, adorn yourself properly. There is great concern in many churches in way women, especially younger women, can dress. It's very provocative. And it's very fashionable maybe for the world, but inside it can cause problems. And you cannot just use the phrase, well, that's just the way I am. Well, God does call us to a degree of modesty. In verse 3 it says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Who you are is not merely external. Christians are to spend more time developing their inner character than attempting to make themselves look beautiful on the outside. Please understand this. Peter is not condemning outward adornment. or women who wear jewelry. He is emphasizing the importance of a woman's character. We spend a lot of our time on things that are transitory, on clothes and jewelry and cars, what car we drive, rather than on the things that are permanent. I love the Bible studies that Luann and the women select are always one that encourage character, becoming a woman of grace. There's not a lot of grace out in the world, people, so that's a challenge. I love the fact that that's the emphasis and that's the focus. It's not wrong to be involved in temporal things, but we must put special effort into the development of the inner character. My wife is really good with that with me. She's very good as far as the fact that, you know, I was diagnosed diabetic a few years back. You know, she's very gentle in her care with me. You know, and she doesn't hound me, but she does by example. You know, and she selects good foods and that. And if I reach for the maple syrup at the restaurant, she'll remind me the person, you know, that in that wheelchair possibly didn't pay attention to his diabetes. So push it back. Sugar-free, please. So... But she does it by example and lovingly, too, because she wants me to be around for a while. I appreciate that. She found out that really getting on my case didn't work. You know, I'm just too dumb for that. But she is a gentle way of doing that and lives by example. We have to be people of character so that people see something inside of us that doesn't depend upon the external. Peter is challenging women to show the beauty in the heart. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The Christian wife is to be concerned with developing those intangible aspects of her life, which are not flashy, but involved, which are interwoven throughout all of her life. Incorruptible beauty involves inner qualities that do not decay or fade, like makeup and jewelry and clothes. I am blessed, I will tell you, with a wife like that. I appreciate all that she does. But she looks great on the outside too. But it's her inner beauty that always, always attracted me to her, even back as a 15-year-old. Peter encourages Christian wives to exhibit attitudes that do not demand personal rights, attitudes that are not harsh and grating but are soothing and tranquil, flowing from a gentle and quiet spirit. That's what I saw in my mother in those years, who despite the grating and the degrading that was going on, she always responded in gentleness. This beauty that Peter talks about never decays as the outward body does. Gentle is actually meek or humble, and quiet describes the character of her actions and reaction to her husband and life in general. Such she is precious not only to her husband, but also to God. Be submissive, adorn yourselves properly, and be daughters of Sarah. That's a very interesting part of the passage that Peter shares. Verse 5, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. These methods have been tested and proven for centuries. The God-honoring and effective ways of spiritual women of previous generations. Certain Old Testament saints, and particularly Sarah, but there are others that respond in this way, are models of inner beauty, character, modesty, and submissiveness to their husbands. Take some time to refresh the stories in the book of Genesis. Abraham saw his wife as so beautiful that even on more than one occasion encouraged her to say that she was his sister. And we're talking some advanced ages, too. We're not talking about, you know, young, but when they're older on. Tell them that you're my sister so they won't kill me and take you as your wife. And when they did take his wife, you know, God revealed to the king that she's already taken. And the king goes, why did you do this to me? You know, but he was a scaredy cat and saw how beautiful she was to him and didn't want to have his life taken. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Calling him Lord, Sarah was not worshiping Abraham, but acknowledging and showing him respect. And there's a huge difference in that. Sarah was no doubt well known to the Jewish believers to whom Peter was writing. Just as Jewish men valued their connection to Abraham, so the women valued their connection to Sarah and regarded themselves as daughters of Sarah. Peter affirmed that desire by describing what it would mean for a Christian woman facing severe persecution, doing good and not giving in to fear. Sarah exerted some leadership out of her own, arranging for her husband to have a child with Hagar, her maidservant, and later by urging him to send Hagar and her son Ishmael away. But it's interesting that God commanded Abraham to listen to Sarah and to send her away, even though Abraham was displeased with her plan, because God had a plan to watch over Ishmael as well. In holding up Sarah as a model, Peter emphasized her good works and courageous faith. She followed Abraham into some risky situations where courage and righteous living were required. In a similar way, Peter's readers were undergoing fiery trials as a result of their faith in Christ. And the key to survival was to not align themselves to the cultural standards of worth, but develop a Christ-like character, which is more both beautiful and enduring. And Peter says, doing what is right without fear. Fear of her husband should not be the driving force that a Christian woman or Christian wife is to practice the principles of godly marital relations. It is her fear of God. And not that fear of being afraid of God, but that reverential fear of respect that does it because God is in control. All right, then Peter turns his attention to the instruction for godly living for husbands. Women might feel that they're gypped because men get one verse, but it's an important verse. So men, take heed. You husbands, in the same way, what same way? In the same way of submission to civil authorities, whether to the president, to the governor, to the mayor, or to what it might be, in the same way, here's a submission for you as well. Live with your wives in an understanding way as someone weaker. Don't get off on that. Since she is a woman. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Submission is the responsibility of a Christian husband as well. Read about that in Ephesians chapter 5 sometime. Not used as a weapon. Here's what it says about you. You know, don't do it that way, but understand what it is. Men understand that. Though not submitting to his wife as a leader, a believing husband must submit to the loving duty of being sensitive to the needs, the fears, and feelings of his wife. In other words, a Christian husband needs to be subordinate to his needs to hers, whether she is a Christian or not. We had a kind of an interesting thing driving around yesterday with Josh. We like to do resale shopping. Love to hit like the consignment shops and Goodwill and Salvation and Army doing those type of things. And got to be about dinner time. Josh said, you know, what are we going to do to eat? I said, well, I don't know. And he goes, well, Mom decides anyway, right? Yep. See, because me, it doesn't matter to me where we eat, because if it's food, I'll consume it, you know. But I'd rather my wife have what she would enjoy and be okay with that, you know. And probably my kids growing up, well, what a weak dad I got, you know. I submit to because I want her to be happy, and that's a minor thing to submit to, you know. I learned this week. There's a difference between I've been thinking, and what's the other one? I have an idea. There's a difference between those two. I have a subtle thing, but both of them involved helping and doing. One's more involved than the other. One just like, this is going to be for when you're not too tired down the road, and this one's for right now. I have not always been that way. I've not always been a submissive husband to her needs and that. And there's times that early in our marriage, I failed those miserably. Crashed and burned. And I remember those as a reminder to me today to not make the same mistake. We even enjoyed, I almost said endured, that was terrible, enjoyed 20 good years of marriage. Well, you've endured. I've enjoyed 20 years of marriage because of that mutual submission to our relationship. Husband, it is so important to understand that we have a responsibility to submit out of the care of our wives, to understand her. In other words, we need to lovingly, willingly put our place, our needs under her needs. Doesn't mean we're any less of who we are, and we will be held responsible. And Peter says, live with your wives with understanding. Christian husbands are to demonstrate towards, I mean, the word understanding is just, I know. Man, one time, God said, what would you, if I can give you anything, what would you, I'm going to get in trouble for this joke, but it's a good joke. Pastor Roland told me. He says, if I can give you anything, that's my default line. Yeah, Pastor Roland told me this one. God said, if I can give you anything, what would you like? I said, God, I would love to have a highway to Hawaii so I can just drive there because I can't afford to fly. And God said, I can't do that. Do you realize the architectural with the design, how much it would cost for pillars? I said, that's just crazy. Ask me something else. The man thought, I said, man, God, I would like to understand women. He said, do you want a two-lane or a four-lane? Thank Pastor Roland for that one. He'll go, what? We are to live our lives with understanding with our wives. Now, let me explain that. We are not called to understand our wives because they are wonderfully and beautifully made to keep us baffled our entire lives. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing because otherwise we can, you know, we lose our edge here. But we are to live with understanding, which means we need to understand the needs that they have. We need to be sensitive to those things in their lives which cause difficulties and problems. And we need to address those and help them through their lives, not to dominate them, but to support them through their lives as well. To understand her strengths and weaknesses, her goals and her desires, we should know as much about her as possible in order to respond in the best way to her. That takes a lot. But that is the depth of understanding that Peter commands a husband to do. We can't blow it off in that way. You know, although it might be easy to, that's not the out that we have. And if we don't understand, just, you know, ladies just keep trying to tell us, you know, and men have ears to hear. The weakness that Peter talks about is primarily physical weakness, since the term vessel means the human body, not to intellectual abilities, moral courage, or spiritual strength. In the norm, I mean, there are some women who do these roller derbies that I wouldn't want to go near, but in the norm of it, the physical weakness, so there's the difference between the two, and we shouldn't try to compete or compare or be equal. There's too much in our society of this equality, which it's not healthy. It's not healthy. It's not healthy in the body of Christ. It's not healthy in the world, but the world wants to do that because for whatever reason. God has made us uniquely and wonderfully different for a purpose. And husbands are called to show honor. The honored or to show means to assign to. We are to assign our wives honor. They are, in the qualifications for an elder, it says to be the husband of one wife. And a lot of times churches misuse that as, well, he shouldn't be divorced, you know, or it's not one wife at a time. It means this, he is to be a one-woman man. He is to have the eyes for one woman. If a man who is to be a leader in the church is flirtatious, if he is got a little wink in his eye, then he's not qualified to be an elder, to be a pastor in the church. That is hard for men because our society works against that. I've been reading this book, and it explains about how much is elevated in our lives that of sensuality. And it's dangerous. And our numbness and our desensitization, I can't say that word, being desensitized is getting larger and larger and larger. It's a dangerous thing. We are to show honor to our wives. We are to assign them honor and never fail on that. They are not the source of jokes. Hopefully the one I refer to is coming back on me, not on you, honey, because you're wonderful and great. A Christian husband is to show honor to his wife because she deserves honor because she is a fellow heir. The relationship Peter described here is between one Christian husband and his Christian wife, since all Christians and only Christians are heirs to the grace of life. Not only in this life, but not to in the life yet to come. Not that we're married in life to come, but the fact that this grace continues on. And we are to do that your prayers will not be hindered. We are to treat our wives in this manner so that our prayers may not be hindered, which literally means cut off. If we do not, as loving husbands, respond to and show love to our wives and show them honor and respect, our prayers are cut off. Why would God bless us? Well, you know, it's like a child that is just being so difficult to work with. You don't want to just pour upon blessing. You want them to understand so they can appreciate. There are no spoiled children in the world, are there? But you wonder kind of how they got that way. We need to make sure that we are not doing anything that would affect our relationship with God. Because a Christian's husband's spiritual relationship with God is directly affected by the way he treats his wife. I do believe that. And I do, and I've experienced that when sometimes there are days and Luann lets me sleep in because she gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, although I would get up with her, you know that, don't you, and have coffee. But, you know, I miss the times that we don't have the prayer time in the morning because that's an important part of a relationship. It's a strengthening that I get from that. This is a tough 7 verses, but it's an important 7 verses. For both men and for women. I want to close with these thoughts. We learn from Peter that how we conduct ourselves as husbands and wives, and by the way, if you don't have a husband or a wife, it still applies to you as well, is still character building in both men and women. It can have a bearing on a personal relationship with God. If wives are to be considered very precious in the sight of God, if husbands' prayers are not to be cut off, then we must apply the principles in this passage to our everyday lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the power that it holds. Now, may you remind us of these things in the days ahead so that we can be right with you and right with those around us. Father, our desire is not to be conformed to this world, but Father, may you transform us. May you cause us to be different so that people are drawn to Christ living within us. May that light shine bright so that we might be a glory to you. And Father, we know how difficult it can be as well. And we know that we have an enemy, but Father, you are greater than our enemy because he has already been defeated. Thank you for the truth of your word. May we live it in these days going forward. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, by His grace, grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone, He will provide, Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone, He will provide Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you for coming. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.